Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The wait is over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football's in effect. The NBA Finals are here, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might go to some of these games, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything, from game spreads, totals, to teams, player, coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of The Bird Calls, our podcast regarding all things New Orleans Pelicans. Joining me on this Sunday evening after the Saints have thoroughly thrashed the Tampa Buccaneers are Kevin Berrios, David Fisher, and our editor-in-chief, Mr. Ollie Cosell. Gentlemen, the Saints kind of waxed that ass tonight.
I'm going to let Fish go because he was really talking about when I jumped in.
Man, it was cathartic, man. It was just beautiful, like from start to finish. It never – I mean, I guess you could say in the second half it let up a little bit in terms of the fact that the Saints stopped scoring. But the rest of it, it was – oh, I loved it. I wish every football game would be like that.
Yeah, Kevin, you were, I'm just happy Lattimore came back in the game, looked to be okay. I think that was the biggest thing.
Kevin, you were out enjoying the game.
Yeah, I was at every Saints game we get together at my friend's house on the West Bank, and he has like a Diamond Dave soundboard. It's like all the vocal tracks isolated from Running with the Devil, and he has that pumped into a PA, and he plays it along to the game. And it's really ridiculous. He's like super good at it now because he's been doing it for like 15 years. And you would think that it would get old, but it never does. it's really funny. So that's what I was over there. And I, after the end of the third, it was safely away. No more heart attack Saints this week. I came home so we could do this.
Yeah, I think they won tonight by more than they had won the rest of their games combined this year. It's like insane. And it's in a place in Tampa where the Saints usually don't play
right
their best game.
Yeah, they always suck in Tampa.
It has never met who Tampa was. And then with this one, this Tampa that they had hyped up, which I still didn't believe in myself. And Ross Jackson and I talk about that on my pod. And it was just like, I didn't think that Tampa was that great. Maybe the Saints, I don't think the Saints are as good as they look tonight, but it was really enjoyable to watch. Yeah. Like that's the peak, and it's hard to play like that every night. But damn, that's fun to watch when you see it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the reason we are here, of course, gentlemen, is we promised the folks that we would begin our analysis of potential trades for Jrue Holiday. Teams that would be partners in that. So we're breaking it up into 4 episodes with 2 teams each. And tonight we're starting with one from the East and one from the West. Ollie Cosell will be presenting his trade options for the Miami Heat. I will be presenting mine from the Golden State Warriors. We're each going to be presenting 2, one that we feel like is the most optimistic and one that is the most realistic. And then as a panel, we will discuss them and see what we think. So, Ali, since I am moderating so far, I will pass this on to you. Why don't you give us just some background of what you were looking for with the Heat, and then go into your trade scenarios.
Yeah, so we've obviously got to talk about the Miami Heat, right? They're one of, I feel like, three teams that were obvious going back to even a year ago, trade candidates, to where they were actually mentioned along with Denver. You know, Tyler Hero with the Heat being supposedly the trade chip that you were chasing with the Jrue Holiday. And of course, with the Denver Nuggets, which we'll get to in a future podcast, Michael Porter Jr. So, oh, by the way, the third team I'm talking about is also the Brooklyn Nets, but we're going to focus on the Heat. And, you know, I think you got to start off with basically the honest to goodness truth, to where it doesn't seem like Tyler Hero for Jrue Holiday and then salary filler is going to do it. Apparently or supposedly, that wasn't enough before the last trade deadline. So after seeing what Tyler Hero did in the bubble, and especially during the playoffs to where he took off, I mean, if you don't pay attention to the Los Angeles Lakers series, he really had a heck of a stretch to where he played fantastic ball for a rookie. So, you know, that obviously had to have knocked his value that much higher for the Miami Heat. But here's my gut feeling is that there may be still a chance. I feel like Tyler Hero could be potentially available. And it starts with Pat Riley. This guy puts everything into every season and trying to win it all. You know, he came within two games. So you got to think they're going to want to run it back, and they're going to rely on that culture to basically probably win another fluky type of season that we've got coming up, right? 72 game seasons on supposedly is what they're going to shoot for starting December 22nd. So it's going to be a quick turnaround from last season. There's likely not going to be fans, maybe for the entire season. So like I said, that puts a team like the Miami Heat, who have that culture and that toughness to be able to play through, you know, all sorts of things to where it gives them a better chance to win in the kind of a weird season. You know, we just saw it. So you don't have to go into any more detail than that about that. So, you know, everybody's talked about Tyler Hero, Kelly Olynyk, Jrue Holiday. I mean, that's obvious to, like, Pelicans fans, but you know what? That's not going to do it for the Heat. I don't think there's even a chance that if, say, we offered the Pelicans, that is, flipped the number 13 overall pick that they have this year for Miami's 20, I don't think that would even be enough. So you really have to wonder just how much Pat Riley really values Jrue Holiday. That's what I think it comes down to. If Jrue commits, say, either that player option or he agrees to an extension with the Miami Heat, you got to think the Miami Heat would be that much more willing to make this deal, right? Furthermore, the Heat don't necessarily need to rely on like young talent through the draft. Even though Tyler Hero may be a star, you look at what they've done with Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, right? Undrafted guys. So they seemingly have such a great both killer scouting department and the player development. So, you know, when you've got Butler and you've got Bam Adebayo and they really want to go for it again, so of course they want Goran Dragic back, you just want to add to that pie so that you can win next year. So, I don't know. I want to see what you guys feel, but that would be my initial proposal is you do Hero, Olynyk, and Miami's 20 for Jrue Holiday and the 13th pick. I think you can make things interesting. I'd be curious if Griff would be willing to part with Josh Hart. You know, I don't want to. I hate bringing it up, guys, but you got to think he's a Miami type of guy, and maybe that would push it over the edge. Therefore, the question becomes, how much should we value Tyler Hero? So I'll pass it on to whoever wants to talk about what I said so far.
Okay. So, Kevin, I would like you to be David Griffin in this situation. Is this deal – are you feeling like you've won that deal? Do you feel like you're not getting enough back in this deal? Do you feel like – what's your thought if you're David Griffin?
I know how I'd feel if I'm Pat Riley. If I'm David Griffin, I'm not 100% sure. Like, I mean, I really like Tyler Hero. I don't know about having to move back in the draft, and I definitely don't know about – I think if I have to include Josh Hart, it's definitely off. I think that's like – not only because – I mean, like I said, I really like Tyler Hero, and moving down in this draft isn't necessarily a terrible thing. You still have that pick. But I just feel like I could get something else better than this for Jrue Holiday without having to sacrifice Josh Hart or moving down seven spots in the draft just to get Tyler Herro, who I do think is a fine player, but I think there's other players out there that I could get that would give me at least 90% of what Tyler Herro does, plus I get more stuff and I'm not giving away anything else outside of Drew Holiday. So
Kevin, just real quick, I want to ask you your value on Tyler Herro, because that's what it boils down to. What do you think is the best player the Pelicans could possibly get for Drew Holiday? Just a single player, not a combination. I think it's Tyler Herro.
I think Tyler Herro is probably the top player. LeVert is right there, and I think Kevin Huerter is right there too. But the difference with those other two is that I'm also going
to – Let's not compare to other teams at this point. Like, we're just talking about what's on your roster from that roster.
Okay. I think it's important to set up the valuation on Herro, though, right? Because I think we should all be different, right?
I think he is the best player that you're going to get. One player for player. But I think the total package isn't going to be what you could get from another team.
David, the reason this is important is because how much do you sweeten the pot if you're Griffin's what I'm getting at? That's why
I'm saying that's going to change from each person.
And right, I'm saying, but I think we need to talk about this, how high of a price are you guys willing to pay?
I'm saying the back. We're talking about these deals as if this is the deal, that right. This is what you're discussing, Miami to New Orleans, not in relation to what other deals are. That's the focus, is to stay on this deal. So just this deal, if this is the deal that you have on the table, the only one in the league, you have this one. How are you evaluating this deal?
Well, what I would do if I was Pat Riley real quick? I'll make it fast.
Okay.
I would not make this trade at all. Like, I would hang on to Herro, and I disagree with Ollie on the aspect of Holiday agreeing to pick up his contract or extending would make him more attractive, because then you're eating into cap space that you can use to sign Giannis next year. You want to keep that option open, and what they can do is – trade a first round pick for why am I losing track of his name? The Pacers player. Oladipo.
They want him. They're not interested in him.
You get what, 80% of Drew's defense, and he expires. So, and you only give up a first round pick, and you still have your Giannis cap space. That's what I would do if I was him, if I really wanted to add another wing defender. But I wouldn't break up Herro, Robinson, and all those that team that you have now. I just think it's too good of a situation. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely agree with Kevin, because why would you get something that's almost redundant in Drew Holiday, pairing him next to Jimmy Butler, two guys who are guys who have to have the ball in their hands and who don't shoot the three particularly well. And neither one of them are dominant scorers. Goran Dragic led Miami through three rounds. Jimmy Butler had some incredible games in the finals. But on a night-to-night basis, if you give up Herro and his ability to not only score as a shooter but as a creator, they put the ball in his hands, I think that's versatility that you're not getting if you get Drew Holiday, because we already know his best is being off and not having to be to carry that point guard load. Dragic is coming off a major injury and is 36. I think they have to have a better guard than Drew Holiday if they're giving up Tyler Herro.
I don't know. If I'm Pat Riley, I think Drew Holiday satisfies me.
I don't think he can play. He can't play the point.
No, I'm just talking about Drew Holiday. I can see Pat Riley putting Drew Holiday at the top of his wish list.
I just don't see it.
This summer. I'm not saying he can give up Herro, David. I'm not arguing that point. I'm curious to see what Fish has to say, though.
Yeah.
I was – honestly, when Ollie was talking about, in order to get Tyler Herro, not only do you have to give up Drew Holiday, but you have to trade back in the draft, I think that what we're talking about now is an obscene amount of recency bias to, we saw him play really well against – you know, the very mediocre Lakers backcourt very recently. And so
he was tired.
I mean,
carried him against the Celtics, man.
I looked at Hero did. He played really well in the bubble, but the bubble isn't going to be basketball going forward. And I think a lot of what everything is happening right now is people are extremely overvaluing the bubble and the bubble performances, because it's the only basketball that we can remember, really. I mean, because Tyler Hero wasn't lighting it up before he got into the bubble. He really wasn't lighting it up at all until really they got rolling in the playoffs. And just like, hey, we drafted some guy because he had a really hot March, March Madness usually blows up in the team's face. I don't value Hero that highly. That's not to say that.
What's his ceiling for you, David? All-star or no?
No, I mean, I believe that he could be an all-star. I mean, he's 20 years old and he has some good performances under his belt. But he's also a little undersized as a shooting guard. He's not really a point guard. And so far, we believe that he's a great defender, but also he's been surrounded by probably inside the best franchise to teach somebody how to be a young defender and to do so quickly. So it's like a nature versus nurture kind of thing. Hero would be one of the top guys on my list if you look around the league in terms of what's the best one thing that you can get for Jrue Holiday. But the idea that in order to get Tyler Hero from the Miami Heat, you have to trade back in the draft and give them Jrue Holiday, and pretty much you're just going to get Tyler Hero one thing and, you know, some amount of salary ballast.
I would do it. I just would include Josh.
No,
Hart.
I'm not saying I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I agree with
it. I'm saying I would do it. I don't have to trade back in addition to.
Hero is 6'5", so I wouldn't say he was undersized as a two.
Yeah, he's going to get bigger, stronger, and you like his.
And he's longer. His arms are long. He has a wingspan, and he's athletic. He's not, you know, he is athletic. I would say his ceiling at this point, like what's Drew's already hit his ceiling.
Oh, yeah.
I just think the skill redundancy thing, I think that's what you have to look at if you're in Miami is, I know one thing that Hero will do is shoot the three. Yeah, I know he'll do that.
And don't
Drew
you like how he
give me that?
But here's another thing: don't you like how he may fit next to Ingram and Zion if Zion improves?
That, but I'm saying that's fine for New Orleans. But if I'm Miami, I'm not giving up that shooter who can also put it on the floor. And my defense is not going to be appreciably better by adding Jrue Holiday.
Sure,
like the value for
that. That's why
taking
I'm throwing
on
in the
that
pick
salary.
Swap. And even if Josh Hart, I'm
salary,
saying, I'm really trying
but
to
but I'm still taking
pot.
In that salary. I don't want to take in Drew's $26 million this season when I got Tyler Hero for, you know, seven.
David, you wouldn't be interested if you're Pat Riley in Jrue Holiday, the pick swap, and Josh Hart?
I'm just saying that's an overpay for the Pelicans.
But that's the going price for a guy that would go, like, probably number one in this draft if he was in it.
That's an overpay for the Pelicans. Why would you give up that much?
Because you can.
Clearly they've already targeted somebody.
Jrue Holiday, to me,
if they want to move up in this draft, they clearly want something higher than what's going to be available at 20.
Right.
Because
so
if
they
you're
don't
getting
care what's
at 20,
at 13
if you're
what?
The Pelicans, then shit. I mean, you're getting another player that's not contributing this year. And they can't afford to have people who don't contribute. So I don't see why that. If the Pelicans
it's a long game move, David. It's a long game move, is the way I'm looking at it.
They have a long game. They've got to
well,
make
I'm
the
saying,
playoffs this season.
Yeah. Hey, guys, I have one other deal I wanted to bounce off you guys that doesn't include Hero. It's a sign and trade with Crowder, Duncan Robinson, and Nunn. Would you do it for Jrue Holiday?
And what
anybody?
Else?
If I get the
I need pick, a pick,
I would consider it more because you know they want to move up in the draft. So at least if they can combine 13 and 20, they can maybe move up to 8 or 10. You know,
You got to get the pick. You have to have the pick.
I mean,
instead of the pick, you're getting Duncan Robinson, though. You guys don't like him that much.
Got to have the pick.
He's expiring, and he's a one trick kind of guy in a sense. You know what I mean? I mean, he's a little he's better than that, but he's not like going to totally change everything about your team. You know, he's not going to
contribute. No, I'm not trading the number 13 pick, by the way. Pelicans still have the 13th
Somebody's going to overpay Duncan Robinson.
But you want another pick is what you're saying, or moving up. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because somebody's going to offer Duncan Robinson a crazy amount of money because he's a shooter. Sure. And if you're the Pelicans, you don't want to have to pay that. If you are keeping, you know, you're keeping.
I wrote that down, Grub. I know, I wrote that down. You want to splurge on a one-dimensional kind of guy when you haven't even gotten to the playoffs yet with this core. Yeah. But, Fish, what do you think about that? Crowder, Robinson, and Nunn for Holiday. Would you do it or consider it?
I would consider it. I mean, you still – Duncan Robinson's coming with restricted rights when he does hit free agency in 2021. Mm-hmm. So you would have that. Nunn also a restricted free agent in 2021. Mm-hmm. So I need the 20th pick with that as well. And then really, okay. I mean, and like the number that you have to sign and trade, I don't think the dollars work at that point on Miami's end. If you're signing and trading Jake Crowder, you'd probably need to be doing a sign and trade either for Myers Leonard or embrace yourselves for this gentleman. Solomon Hill. There's somebody that you can give enough of a raise to.
Yeah, I'm curious what kind of a raise Crowder would need to make properly. That deal. Yeah, that's
true. Well, if you get Earl Winnick in there, that's $12 million if he picks up the option. That helps, you know.
Yeah.
But are they going to give up a Linick who's a shooting big, you know, and that has really –
Dude wasn't even in a playoff rotation, really, David, before healthy. Remember?
I mean, and if you're getting Drew Holiday, I mean, you're getting Drew Holiday for Duncan Robinson and Kelly Olynyk.
Well, if they're sad about – Yeah, and if they're sad about him leaving, you can give him Melly, right?
Right. Put Melly back in there. That's right.
Well, that's about all I have from Miami. If anybody else has got another deal, you guys think?
I would say I wouldn't be excited about that deal.
Do you think either team – all right, let's go around like this. So, Kevin, which team – do you think either team makes this deal?
No, I don't see because I don't see Miami giving up Hero. They would be stupid to do that, and I don't see anything else that they have that makes sense for the Pelicans for giving up Drew when there's other options. And like I said, I feel like Miami should, if they really want somebody like Drew, just get budget Drew and Oladipo, you know, for a year for just the pick, and ride that out, you know. So that makes more sense to me for them.
Fish, same.
The same answer. It's an issue where the Heat lack the proper kind of assets right now. Unless they put Hero on the table, I don't expect them to put Hero on the table. And then once you take Tyler Hero off the menu for the Pelicans, you're looking at what else there is to offer, and you're like, nah, I'm going someplace else. So I don't see how they can come to an agreement, because especially not to talk about other teams like specifically, but when you know that there's a market of 8 to 10 teams, a lot of teams calling about Drew Holiday, Miami, the gap that like space between their good offer and then their next step down offer is massive, because you're taking Tyler Hero off the table when you go from their, you know, the best offer that they can toss out into, you know, all of their plan B and plan C options.
Okay, so I think we're all saying that it's highly unlikely that the Pelicans and Heat make a deal.
It is interesting, though, that he's been in the rumors for me, and you know Griff's not the one leaking it. So for over a year, Hero, right, for maybe Holiday. And the fact that Ira Winderman, Winderman, longtime beat reporter for the Heat, he thinks the Heat would do a deal like that because they're in championship contender mode. He wrote something.
So, Ollie, what would you say probability in your mind? What would you say?
Oh, I think
60%?
No, to even approach 50%, you got to include what I said, probably even, and that includes Josh Hart, right? And of course, then does Griff want to give up that much? So, yeah. I don't think this is an optimal trade partner, top three for the Pelicans in terms of getting a deal done for Holiday. So I agree with the other guys. Yeah, Kevin and Fish.
All right, so we move on now to the Golden State Warriors. And I will say this before I make my presentation. I was surprised at how much more interested I was in making this deal than I thought I would be. So my most likely deal is Drew Holiday for Andrew Wiggins, straight up. That's
the salary's already fit. Nobody has to do anything extra. That would be just no muss, no fuss. For Golden State, you know, they get this, it's a win now move in their advantage as they take this last run with Draymond Green, who's 30, Steph Curry, who's, you know, certainly at peak or just past peak, and Klay Thompson coming off of the ACL. So you get financial flexibility also with Drew. If it doesn't work, you know, this season, or if they feel like they don't want to go long-term, they both can kind of move on in 2 years one way or another. And for Drew, it's not home, you know, exactly, but it's still California. So, you know, there's upside there on that side. But Wiggins, his contract, again, is not that long. It's only two more seasons. Financial commitment is basically what you know, in the same area if you did have to extend Drew for another year. So it's not like the Pelicans are losing out financially on the deal. You get length at 6'7" with him, with the wingspan. So you could have Lonzo 6'6", Wiggins 6'7", Ingram 6'9". And that's all you need, that length with Zion in that, in the front court. And especially if you're going to play with a smaller front court at times, if you don't retain a Derek Favors. So you look at his age, he's coming off a season where he had a career high PER, his second highest true shooting percentage. It was higher than Drew's last year. He's a better rebounder, fewer turnovers, even with higher usage. You know, he's durable. He's played just about every game he's been available for since he started his career. He's been shooting 34% from three the last four seasons, 56% on corner threes last year, 66% at the rim, 5.4 free throw attempts per 36 in his career. And that's the same on his per game. So he's consistent in that regard. Drew's only had one season in his whole career where he reached four. So defensively, his steal and block rates jumped in the period of time that he was with Golden State. So maybe being in Minnesota and getting out of Minnesota, getting to a better defensive structure, there's still that upside. That was what people thought he would lean on when he came out of Kansas. So maybe that's still there. 35% on catch and shoot threes last year on 3.6 attempts per game. So I think you could, if the optimum would be, of course, to get the two from Golden State as well. But I think I could live with, if that was the best of the deals available, I could live with the Drew Holiday for Andrew Wiggins straight up deal. Ollie, I'll let you go first on this.
I don't want Wiggins at all. And especially if there's no pick coming back, you know, it's a non-starter for me. So they got to at least throw in the number two. I don't know. Andrew Wiggins, he's been in the league long enough. I know he's only 25, but look, I mean, Jimmy Butler couldn't wait to get away from the guy. And I was not impressed with what I saw when I watched him play with the Warriors. You know, I still thought he had motivation problems. He still doesn't have the read like he should defensively. Offensively, you know, he still takes bad shots, settles for long twos. I mean, I still think he needs a lot of work. And like I said, considering how long he's been in the league, you just don't have much hope for guys like that anymore. So I feel like you're bringing him, or if you're taking him for Drew, you better get at least the number two pick or the Memphis pick. But it's better, it should be the number two. Because I think that, I mean, if the Pelicans are talking about wanting to move up in the draft, and both Fish and I like a couple guys at the top of the draft, I know. Hayes, I mean, if you like any one of them, I don't know who they would like, but like, for instance, I know Fish really likes Hayes, and I'm a fan of Okongwu. I think if you're the Pelicans and you don't think that Zion Williamson can turn into Draymond Green, you need to find a defender that's going to defend the rim. And I'm really, you know, I really like Okongwu. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. But would I do a deal then? I think I would, you know. I would accept to and eat Wiggins' salary if I could get the number two, as long as, like I said, if I'm really high on somebody.
Yeah, I'm saying it's not a long-term deal. So getting a two for short term with Wiggins, even if you have to flip him at the trade, you know, deadline this year, I think that's still, to me, it's a deal that if that's the deal that's available, that if everybody else isn't out there and somebody says you get a 6'7" Andrew Wiggins, who I'm not counting on to be my star, and I could teach him how to play defense. He shoots the ball fairly well from distance, gets to the line better than we think he is, and that's important for a Stan Van Gundy offense, then I'm saying, give me that too. Yeah, I make it immediately. I think if realistically, it probably ends up having to be a straight up deal.
But that's my thought. Fish, you got it.
So a couple things. One, I am also high on the potential of Andrew Wiggins in New Orleans. I don't take a whole lot from anything that happened after Andrew Wiggins arrived in Golden State, because he came onto a team that was absolutely garbage. And he was like the only NBA player that was actually logging minutes at that point. So, I mean, there's not much to take from what he's done there. He's been a mediocre shooter, but he's been borderline decent from the free throw line. And so you ask yourself, well, if Fred Vinson, who recently announced he's going to be back on the staff, is this magical shot doctor, if he can get Andrew Wiggins to sufficient competence behind the arc as well, then you're looking at, I mean, Andrew Wiggins still has fantastic tools. Like you mentioned, he's been exceptionally healthy throughout his career. Very athletic, has long arms. I see that. From my perspective, if I'm negotiating this trade as the Pelicans against the Warriors, part of this is by trading Drew Holiday for Andrew Wiggins, you're cutting probably somewhere between $3 and $4 million off of the Warriors' salary. And then right. You apply the salary, the luxury tax implications, and they might be saving them somewhere between $15 and $20 million, the owners. And that
2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. But there is one thing you can control, and that's shaving your bush. Look, there's no need to be coy about it. You deserve to smell fresh and look great in all the right places, and Manscaped is here to help. They've got the Lawnmower 3.0, a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost. The ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is designed to reduce nicks and tugs on your fellas down low. It's waterproof, comes with an LED light so you can manscape in the shower, the dark, or in a dark shower, whatever floats your boat. They've got the Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on. It's a luxury four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tip tweezers, rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file. You can pluck eyebrows or trim nails in style. There's also the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. This will help you tame that summer swamp ass with natural hydrators and antioxidants. There's the Crop Reviver. It's a testy toner that's like having cologne that is designed for your balls. We won't judge if we catch you sniffing yourself. Go to manscaped.com and check out some of these life-changing products. In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code armchair. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that front trunk. The wait is over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football's in effect. The NBA Finals are here, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might go to some of these games, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything. From game spreads, totals, to teams, player, coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
That price needs to be paid because the Pelicans are still trading the better basketball player right now. In Drew Holiday, especially because honestly, Drew Holiday is a superb fit for the Golden State Warriors.
That's and what I'm saying.
As a very petty New Orleans Pelicans fan, the idea of bolstering a potential title contender for the defending bubble champion Los Angeles Lakers also gives me great joy. And I can't take that out of the possible calculations here, but you're saving them on the tax bill. You're giving them a better player that fits better right now.
Yep.
For the Warriors. So maybe not the second pick straight up, but we need the second pick and you're essentially trading back to 13, and we have all of these second round picks that we're not using, or we don't have a spot for. So do you want one of those this year? Which, honestly, the Warriors should want something like that because they need to find a way to fill out the roster on their end. So that is something that you can chip in there that's lucrative. So something like, and I don't remember precisely which picks the Pelicans have in the second round. I'm looking that 39, up right now. 39,
43, 60.
Yeah. So if you're saying, how about Drew Holiday, 13, 39 for Andrew Wiggins and two.
I love that deal.
Yeah. And then do you have to make the pick at two, or do you do the same thing that David Griffin did? And this is not to discuss what he would do with it, but David Griffin, one of the things he got with the Lakers trade was the four pick, which he turned into 8, 17, and 35. Now, can he take that two pick and some team is chomping at the bit because they want James Wiseman or something like that at two, and you trade back and you get like a Luka Doncic deal or something like that, where you get a team that trades really up want. To get to two, and you get, you know, their, you know, whatever, some pick between 3 and 10 or ish, and then another future pick. Which is, I mean, that's that.
And you
that
get
was
the player you want for less money than you wanted to pay for him. Mm-hmm.
The thing is that also the cap implications of the fact the Warriors trading back from 2 to 13 also saves them on the luxury tax. Yeah,
exactly. And I think the Warriors would use that 13 to go get a vet. They would give up that 13 in a minute to go get another veteran to help them make a run because they don't want a ton of young players either. They have a crap load of them.
If I'm the Warriors, I'm looking at that situation. So I have two in Wiggins. And for two in Wiggins, I can get Drew Holiday. And then I'm going to have the 13th pick and then a early second round pick. And this draft is lacking at the top, but deep is how people have described it a lot. So, and then you say, well, what if we take that 13 pick? And then the Iguodala trade exception, and then we get another guy in here because we want to win championships. We want to win them right now. That's the kind of deal that works for both sides. But going back to what you were discussing on Andrew Wiggins, I feel like Andrew Wiggins has great fit beside Ingram and Zion defensively. Because really? I think he can. Yeah. Because I think there is.
I don't like him.
there's definite. I mean, the tools are there, and sure. Like you said, the block rate and the steals rate and stuff like that. Is he a little bit of a space cadet sometimes? Yes, but with great athleticism and great physical tools, you can make up for that. And he has. The thing is that you still need to think of him as a reclamation project in the fact that he hasn't been in a good franchise, in a good situation for very long. Yes, he's been with the Warriors, which has been, you know, one of the pinnacles of the NBA for a long time. But that Warriors team wasn't the Warriors team that he was on. Klay Thompson wasn't suiting up. Steph Curry wasn't suiting up.
Did we lose him?
I don't know.
I think so.
Well, we'll see if we get him back. No, but we'll see if we get him
Kevin,
back.
Yeah.
But Kevin. I'll turn it to Kevin. The one other thing that I just wanted to, because I think Fish was getting to this as his point, was him not playing small forward now at the shooting guard position, I think is a much better position for him defensively than having to play the three. Kevin, what are your thoughts?
I'm not big on Wiggins, not as big on Wiggins as
you guys. Oh, thank God.
But I did come up with some ideas for this that I think could possibly work. I made 2 3-team trades. One of them I have two versions of. And so the first one is – I'll give you the one that more picks. So Drew goes to the Warriors with the Washington second round pick and the Bucks second round pick and the number 13 pick. All right. And then we get the number 2. And then Andrew Wiggins goes to the Kings and Buddy Hield comes to the Pelicans. And then we also give the Kings our second round pick and a protected future first round pick.
I don't like that deal because I think you're getting JJ Redick back. You're getting another 6'4 shooting guard that doesn't handle the ball and also doesn't defend. I mean, like, I just, to me, like, the whole point to me is to get either a great wing defender, a post player, or a point guard.
What was your other one, Kev?
Okay, so then the same then I have the same trade, but instead of giving the 13th pick to the Warriors, we can keep that and we give them Jackson Hayes instead. You know, gives them a young big center that they kind of need, and he might work in that system with better defenders around him and a different mentality around him. And that way we can still pick 2 and 13 or trade 2 back, you know, and get something else. You know, like, one of the things I was thinking about is there's been a lot of talk about Charlotte trying to trade up to 2. So if you can move back to 3 and possibly pick up either Miles Bridges or PJ Washington from them on the move, you know, you get that big man, that tweener also. But then the other third team trade I came up with was with the Bulls. So Holiday, Hayes, and 2 seconds go to the Warriors. Wiggins and 13 go to the Bulls, and the Pelicans end up with Otto Porter, Lauri Markkanen, and number 2.
Guys?
Fish, you back?
Yeah, I'm just back, but I caught the end of that, and I didn't quite because you were talking about the Bulls. Are you routing 2 to the Bulls and then 4 to the Pelicans?
No. So Wiggins and 13 go to the Bulls. Holiday, Hayes, the 2 seconds go to the Warriors, and the Pelicans end up with Otto Porter Jr., Lauri Markkanen, and number 2.
Ooh. I feel like we're getting back too much.
Yeah, that's kind of like if you flip it and you say we're sending the Warriors Holiday and they're sending the 2 to the Bulls and then the Bulls are sending us 4. So essentially the Bulls are getting Wiggins, but yeah, they're also moving up from 4 to 2, yeah, moving Otto Porter. I feel like the value is closer there. And I mean, you have Markkanen, which I love. I think Markkanen is a superb fit beside Drew. I mean, he's a great rebounder. He really is. He rebounds outside of his position very well. But when you analyze his rebound numbers, a lot of that's the fact that he plays power forward and they always put a center beside him. Mm-hmm. So you need to take that into consideration in terms of where he is positionally and who he's beside positionally. And the Bulls are one of my favorite third party matching teams. I can kind of see that because, I mean,
they get 13,
you're talking
about 13, you know, a 4-13 version they come away with.
I mean, as long as you're talking up, you know, Wiggins, and so they get Wiggins who, I mean, we can discuss how well he fits.
Does he fit with Zach LaVine?
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to have those two guys together, mm-hmm, that feels, and they played together already.
Yeah.
They played together in Minnesota and that didn't work. So I don't think, mm-hmm, you want to redo that with LaVine playing the way he is right now.
But I guess, like, especially when you're the new Nuggets, the new Bulls GM who's come over from the Nuggets, and you look at the kind of players that they have tried to acquire. When he was there with the Nuggets, they really valued skill. And I don't think that Wiggins fits that mold of what he would chase. But at the same time, he's probably looking at it as, I'm getting to trade up in the draft essentially for Markkanen. And then it's Otto Porter out and Wiggins in. I mean, are the Bulls saving better cap space to chase somebody in free agency?
But are they better?
I don't think they're better, but if his front office is zeroed in on somebody and says that's the guy, and we don't know he's going to be there at 4, but he can be there at 2, and you hit on that trade up, then you look like a genius. So I guess that's the biggest thing is that Hazzy.
But do you think Chicago would value anybody in the top 4 that much? Like in this draft, do you think there's a player in there that they would value that much?
Well, to give up Mark Cannon to go get two spots.
But they also get 13. I think y'all are forgetting that part of it.
In this draft?
Yeah. I mean, so that.
Like, I would want something. I'd want, if I'm the Bulls, I want flexibility for another year's pick. Like, I mean, 13 this year doesn't make me feel great if I'm the Bulls.
The first next year. That's fine.
No, I see what you're saying, and a lot of that is just the fact of the fit of LaVine and Wiggins.
But I get that. You know what I mean? You're having this. That's the thing, is that you're looking at a new front office, is my thoughts. So getting more first round picks and being able to get the guys that you want, and having more flexibility to move guys out that you don't want because you have extra picks, I would think would be something that's attractive to them.
Well, I'm saying that's why they'd want to pick in a different year. I wouldn't take 2 picks in this draft.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way I'd take 2 picks. And you'd have to give me they'd want a good, like, some kind of flexibility with that other one so that it's not too low.
Yeah, no,
I overlook that they also hired Donovan. Don't forget that they just I just want to mention that they just hired Donovan, right? And he left OKC because he wasn't interested in any kind of rebuild. So I think Chicago is going to want to win sooner rather than later, even if it means making kind of, you know, not bad trades, but you know what? Just trying to start winning now a little bit sooner than they should.
But that wouldn't –
what I'm saying is that kills the grabbing a bunch of picks route to me. I think they would rather keep Markkanen, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, yeah.
So listen, I just wanted to say with Wiggins, though, I mean, I heard everything you guys said, but one thing we got to mention, he played for 3 years under Tom Thibodeau, a year and a half, right, with Jimmy Butler. And this guy's motor seemingly has not improved, or at least when he was with them up there, you know, people always talked about it was still kind of an issue. And then just listen how David Griffin has talked. I feel like there's a lot, I don't know, I feel like there should be more hesitancy in a deal, just one on, you know, just with Golden State I'm talking about, Drew for Wiggins plus the 2. Because when I listen to Zach Lowe, he kind of, you know, he brought up the same trade and he mentioned that I just don't know how Wiggins would fit. And he brought up kind of, you know, the more of his negatives than the positives that we've been talking about. So I don't know. I'm not too much for this trade, getting excited about it, especially his fit alongside B.I. and Zion. But like I said, that's just my opinion.
I mean, I don't think anybody would say this is the number one deal. I don't think any of us would say, I wouldn't say that. And I'm just saying I like it more than I thought I would. And that if it were the only deal on the table, I could live with myself making it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Pels have circled somebody, they think it's sorry. Yeah, I think it's a smart move.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if that's who they've already decided, that they want somebody that high, and what I get for that is still only 2 years of Andrew Wiggins. So I get to make my decision.
David, I think it's 3. I think he's got 3 more years, guys.
Yeah, he does. He has 3. I looked it up.
This and 2 more. Excuse me. But still, that would take you just 1 year past what Drew would do if he picked up his option.
Yeah, for me.
So you could still move him.
Well, and this is something you guys
makes it perfect.
This is where I want to jump in on that. Is that you guys had discussed the fact that having that big Wiggins salary, which is an expiring contract the year before Zion's extension would kick in. I feel like that is a valuable chip that you would want to have in your holster, because if a star player, a star level player comes available at that point, it makes it a lot easier for the Pelicans to make a big trade for, you know, a legitimate third star at that point, because they have the Wiggins expiring contract. And then, you know, other their own firsts, and I think they'd at least have one Lakers first.
Yep.
And like when we're talking about who would we trade Drew Holiday to, et cetera, a lot of it's who has easy matching salary and stuff like that. Well, the Wiggins expiring contract the year before Zion's extension comes in, which is, should be the time where the Pelicans are not approaching their final form, but should be going from we can be patient to it's time to win. That trade chip in terms of a big expiring contract that they can use to make a move for a star that's going to come available and wants to play with Zion and Ingram has real value. And in the meantime, in the two seasons in the interim, you get to see if you can build Wiggins' value. And you have a healthy body that plays on the wing that, I mean, if that would just be wonderful. Just a healthy body that isn't a tremendous negative who you can play on the wing. And I mean, Wiggins is going to give you 18 to 22 points a game. He's going to find a way to score. And if you can just get him to commit to defense, hey, I mean, that's when I'm looking at Wiggins, I feel like he has far more defensive potential than Brandon Ingram does in terms of guarding big wings. This team still can't guard big wings. I don't see anybody on this roster that can guard big wings. And Wiggins goes a long way to solving that question.
I agree with you. You guys think Wiggins would honestly accept the number three role on offense? I don't.
Yes.
You
because
do.
What was he going to have in Golden State? He was going to be the third option in Golden State.
Well, if he's winning championships, it's one thing, but I'm not sure if he would do it here on a young team.
He's got a chance to make his name. He's got a chance to make his name. In Golden State, he was going to still – it was still – nobody would be talking about him. But if he becomes the third guy as the Pelicans rise up over the next 2 years, if that's his ceiling and he's still a 19 – you know, yeah, like you said, 19-20. Kevin, what do you think?
I mean, I'm not a Wiggins guy. I really don't like him. But if I'm getting the second pick, I look at that as a bonus, especially if I don't have to give up the 13. Like if I can give them Jackson Hayes instead and keep the 13 or, you know, something else, a future first or whatever, that's lottery protected, because hopefully the Pelicans are not in the lottery again for the next few years. But the second pick is very interesting because, you know, you could get that guy that they want, you know, you could get the guy that you want, or you could trade back in the first, you know, 8 to 10 spots if there's like a couple of guys that you like and pick up another asset. You know, like I said, that a lot of people are talking about a trade up from the Hornets to the second pick so they could get Wiseman. And then possibly you could get like a Bridges or PJ Washington from them, and that fills a hole for you. Plus, you can probably still get the guy that you were targeting, or at least guy 1B that you were targeting by moving up. So I think it's all about getting the second pick, and I understand the reasons why you guys like Wiggins. I'm just not high on him as a player because I feel like Ollie, like I've seen him just play with no motor, and I don't really trust his shooting the way you do. And I look, if his shooting doesn't pan out, you look at that starting lineup where you're going to have you know, a center that's not a stretch. You're going to have Zion, who's not really an outside shooter. Then you're going to have Wiggins, who I don't really trust his outside shooting. Mm-hmm. And then is Lonzo's shooting that we saw last year a flash in the pan or not? We're still not 100% sure on that. And that's just like no spacing. So I worry about that. And I know he physically projects to be a good defender, but I haven't really seen it. So that makes me worried as well. I do agree with Fish about, you know, having that big expiring as Zion's about to become paid. You can make that move to really get into position with some of the other assets you have. But just looking at the player, I don't like him. So I definitely have to get that second, whether it's get a pick swap or if I could keep the 13, that's great because then I could fill another hole. But yeah, it's all about getting the second pick for me.
Yeah, I think the two is the most important thing. That's the most important thing. I will say Again, it's not my number one trade, but I like it more than I thought I would. And it lines up in some ways that I think are cool. Any last thoughts on either one of these or just, you know, Ollie, you want to wrap on anything?
Well, there was one thing I was going to mention, and I'm glad Fish mentioned it earlier, is the Warriors are going to pay the tax no matter what looks like next season, whether they get off Wiggins or not. And I'm thinking if they actually want to actually go as far as they, you know, they don't care about paying whatever tax could be, then what could be interesting is say they keep Wiggins, but then they use their $17.2 million trade exception they got from dealing Andre Iguodala to the Memphis Grizzlies, grab a player to fill that slot, and then you trade that player you get, combine it with Looney, and then Holiday goes to them. We get whoever that is, like whether it's James Johnson on his expiring deal or whoever, right? They can grab to fill that exception. So suddenly we've got two expirings, right? Or I think Looney's expiring. So you get Looney and whoever else expiring with the number two. I think that's way more inviting than getting even Wiggins. But see,
Ollie, I just want to – I see what you're going with it. But since we have – since the NBA has the calendar laid out like it is, the possibility of making a trade to then later aggregate and make a trade because of how many days need to occur –
yeah,
between trades and stuff like that, that's not realistic. And also the fact that, I mean, training camp's going to start 2 weeks after the draft. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I see where you're going with that, and it would be a fun thing to think about if we had a regular off season, but we don't.
Yeah, I see your point. Here's another one that I was kind of just tossing around because they need to fill out roster, right? I wrote down as crazy. Drew, Melly, Hart, and number 13 for Wiggins, Looney, number 2, and Minis 2021. Any chance?
Wait, you got to go over that slower.
Okay. Yeah, so going out from New Orleans is Drew Holiday, Melly, Josh Hart, and the 13th pick in this draft for Wiggins, Looney, the number 2, and Minis 2021. That's 1 through 3 protected. Any chance? I wrote that. Like, no. I said, that's crazy stuff.
Yeah, but no.
Ollie, we're going to have an intervention if Kevin, you try to trade Josh Kevin. Hart one more time on this podcast.
Kevin.
I wrote down crazy. No, that's just my, like, total rebuild idea. Kevin. You know, you've got to explore every single option. Please
tell him something.
No way, please. Man. Not Hart for that. No.
Are you saying Golden State wouldn't do it? I don't think...
But why would the Pelicans?
I mean, the Pelicans wouldn't do it. I'm saying I think Golden State wouldn't do it.
For the Pelicans, I would definitely not want Looney. I would want Pascal instead. You know,
like, no, Wiggins and Looney are just looked as basically salary ballast, right? You want the number 2 in the future pick, Minnie's future pick.
What are you going to do with Looney in your?
Don't look at the players. The two chips are the number 2 pick and Minnie's 2021. That's
it's
basically
too many picks. What, I don't like all these picks.
It's all about the future. I told you this is just my crazy thought. If Grant is like, I want to push your reset button, that's just what I threw out there. That's all.
Oh, so many picks.
I'm going to say my Buddy Hield option was better than that.
All right. Anyways, I'm the one that's being fun tonight. You guys are hating.
Because the whole whatever.
All right, we do realistic, but then we do far-fetched, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, yours was fucking – that was more than far-fetched. You know, that was Fletcher level.
That was – you've been hitting Fletcher edibles level. With Kevin level, man.
Kevin wouldn't come up with that.
No, Kevin would not.
Because Kevin, it's still
– my Buddy Hield one because he dropped out of the call. But I had Wiggins going to the Kings with a future first – lottery protected first from us, and we get Buddy Hield and the number 2.
See, that would be interesting just in the fact that we expect Sacramento to be dumb. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. When you look at Sacramento, even if they're Sacramento, you know, is moving Hield, they still have Bogdanovich and they still have Bielitsa, as shooting guys around Wiggins So that, I mean, that roster construction makes more sense.
And Barnes is a decent shooter, and you would think Bagley would move to the five.
That's a lot of bigs. You still got Giles. You still got, I mean, that's a.
Oh, Harry Giles is gone.
See, that's the thing. So is Lynn. So all they have is, I mean, they have Rashawn Holmes. You would think that Bagley and Holmes are your centers. And then, you know, you'd have Wiggins and Barnes in the front line and Bogdanovich and Fox in the backcourt. I think that's a pretty good, solid starting five.
What about Bielitsa?
He would be another – he's a stretch
six
four.
Man, six-man stretch four. Yeah.
So, but no, that I mean, Giles, they declined his option.
Oh, that's right.
So,
that's right.
Yeah, he was the agent.
And then I think Len is unrestricted.
Yeah.
Do you I mean, my thing is just the Buddy part. It's like I love Buddy, but it's like getting a lesser Drew. Like, well, he's a better shooter. But he's
gonna space the floor for you. He's one of the best shooters in the league.
I'm just saying, yeah, but he doesn't handle the ball. He doesn't make you better defensively. And the thing about Lonzo, if Stan wants to put Lonzo off ball in the half court as more of a catch and shooter, then you need somebody who can handle the basketball in return.
Yeah, and it can't be just B.I.,
and at 6'4", it's like no more 6'4s. I mean, no more 6'4s.
No, I feel that. I just would rather have Buddy than Wiggins. So that was my thought. Like, who has a salary that is on the trading block that we could get possibly for Wiggins? Because I'd rather.
No, Buddy Hield fighting with Luke Walton, man. He and Stan Van Gundy would definitely get into it.
No, I see what you're saying, but I'm with Grubb on that. I don't think that, yes, you want shooting around Zion and Ingram, but you want defense first. Like, yeah, I'm going to prioritize defense first.
Yeah,
and I get rebounding that. And defense are such keys, man.
But I was trusting the Stan Van Gundy school for wayward defenders to fix a little bit.
That was such a great line, by the way, Grubb. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. I still want to see the shirt design. I want to see that because that's going
to
be.
Yeah, great. I need to get to that soon. But, you know, I've been super busy.
So, okay, did any of the deals move someone in a better direction with the Heat? Do you feel like the Heat are up or down? Do you think Golden State, do you think that's a reasonable partner? Do they move in there? Did anyone have it shift in the tier of their mind of teams, trade partners? Fish, we'll let you go first on this one.
I mean, Miami to me is still just a matter of, is Tyler Hero on the table? If he is, Miami becomes a very good trade partner. Because like we were talking about Buddy Hield, Hero also a shooter, but he's already shown some chops defensively and he was doing a pretty solid job as a creator. I
overlook his rebounding. I loved his rebounding, man.
Yeah, so I mean, he contributes in multiple ways. He's not just a shooter. He's not super one-dimensional in that manner. So if Hero's on the table, then the Miami trade is high on the list. It's just a matter of if he's going to be on the table or not. Golden State, I think, is the most interesting because it's a matter of which direction Golden State wants to go, because some combination of 2 and Wiggins, Drew and 13 sounds like it makes sense. It makes sense to nonpartisan observers to some degree, like Zach Lowe. So that one makes a lot of sense. And then there's the Wiggins question on that one. And then is there somebody you love at 2, or is there somebody else in the league who loves somebody at 2? So you can get, you know, a decent haul moving back, but still getting the guy that you want in the draft along with Wiggins for Drew Holiday. I feel like Golden State is a very possible one, a very possible trade partner in terms of a trade that might actually realistically be discussed. Mm-hmm. Whereas some of the other trades that we talk about are more us just trying to find roster pieces that make sense. So, I mean, Miami, it's the Tyler Hero question. And then Golden State, it's how much do they want to push the chips in right now? Because Drew Holiday has a very good chance of being one of, if not the best right now player who changes teams between now and December 1st. I mean, it's not that far away.
Kevin, which do you think would be a more likely partner at this point, considering all the things we've discussed? Would Miami be a more likely destination or Golden State, and why?
Golden State, for sure, for me, is more likely because I think Drew Holiday fits there better. He answers some questions for them, fills some holes, fills some needs. Then you know, we know that the Pelicans want to move up in the draft. We've heard that. So this solves that problem for them. And it gives them a player that you can, you know, and Wiggins that they can either move for something else or that will fill a role for them. And then for Miami, that deal to me, that requires Pat Riley being dumb and being outsmarted, which I don't see that happening because I don't see how Drew Holiday improves that team because, like Grubb, like you said, him and Butler are very similar. They need a real point guard. They need shooting. And they would be giving up a young player on a cheap contract that provides the things that they need for another guy that's redundant on their roster. As great as Drew is, that's just to me the worst fit for them. And they have other options out there that they can add to their roster without sacrificing, you know, quality young players that are already there. So I really don't see the Miami deal happening. But I could definitely see the Warriors deal happening, and it's not my favorite deal, but I'd be satisfied with it. I think it's good. And I think Fish missed this is I was saying that possibly we could hang on to 13 by giving them Jackson Hayes. I'm sure you're into that idea.
Oh my goodness. Sign me up.
Ollie, which, you know, after now hearing all the sides, which do you think is the more likely and which do you think is the better?
One that's better is definitely a hero going with Golden State. But the one more likely, I feel like, is probably the Warriors. Because if Hero's been in the rumors for a year, and, of course, his stock went up immensely, you got to think that if he was already off the table, boy, he's not even going to get mentioned by Pat Riley, right? So, yeah, more likely than would obviously have to be the Warriors.
All right. So I think that should do it for this one. We'll have another one for you coming up very soon, where we take two more sides with two more presentations in this series of eight. So until the next one, for Kevin Berrios, David Fisher, and Ollie Cosell, I am David Grubb, and let's go Pel.
For listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.